two young children, a brother and a sister, presented their mother with a houseplant, and they had used their own money to buy it, and Mom was very pleased to receive it. After this brother and sister gave the plant to their mom, they went on to explain that they really would have rather bought her a large basket of flowers that they saw at the florist, because it had a ribbon in it and it had a good message that their mom would surely appreciate. And their mom said, "Well, this is just fine." And they said, "But Mom, it said, rest in peace." And they went on to explain that to their mom, because she so often said, "Could there just be a little peace so I could get some rest?" That they just knew their mom would appreciate that. Today I want to make the next installment in our sermon series, A New Way of Living, New Life Within. And we're up to Matthew 5:9, and we'll be speaking about on making peace. Before we do, I would like to share a scripture that has hit me, and I'd like to pray before we go to the Word. Hebrews 11:6 says this, "But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." And today, as we go to the Word, I would want to pray that we would be diligently seeking him. And I'd like to pray for you and for me. And you may want to hold a copy of the Word in your hand, just saying that this is one way we diligently seek him, and today we'll do that together. Our Almighty Father, it has hit me again that it is work to pursue you, that we must diligently seek you, and that is motivated by a real, living, dynamic faith that isn't always happily victorious. Because of faith, sometimes it is a struggle, and we intend to grow. We intend to seek you and find you. And Lord, I just pray for each one who is here today, including me, that you would open the eyes of our heart more wide. Father, that we would be able to partake of the Word and receive the Word and, Lord, gain a better vision of what it means to live by faith and to seek you and to have peace. There is almost nothing that is not a threat to peace. The things we deal with on a daily basis, the people with whom we live and work, the media, what we hear, what we see, what we, Father, observe in our spirit, it all lines up against the peace that you and only you can give. And so today, Lord, I would pray that we could get out of our own way, so to speak. It was work to worship, to concentrate on peace, to believe that it surpasses, that it transcends understanding, to know that those words are true. And so, Father, teach us as we become like little children who are ready to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 5:9, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." When we say the word peace, I'm sure that it connotes a lot in people's minds. And I'd ask you just to think for a moment, what came to your mind this morning when the first word of Andy's came out of his mouth today was peace? We don't have to look far. Just read the paper, watch the news to find that we do not live in a world full of peace. For certain, this world could use a few more peacemakers to go around. I want to challenge you to think with me, where does the lack of peace originate? Let's keep thinking about peace. When we talk about that word and think about it, we could talk about a personal peace, and then maybe a family peace, and a church peace. And we'll stop there for a moment and just ask, how much personal peace do you have? Are you where you need to be on the inside? How about your family? How about this church? And then we could think about community peace and national peace and international peace. And it takes us to a whole new height, a whole new scale of considering that term. And then ultimately, I think we would want to consider world peace and say, will that ever be? Is that even a possibility? And I would say that we need to put in our minds as students of the Word that there will be world peace when Christ reigns in His millennial reign, but I don't think that we should look for a political party or a political person to bring world peace. So would you agree with me that at the root of peace are things, or the root of lack of peace are things like envy, the desire to control, and anger, and greed, and bitterness, and jealousy? I mean, you think about that even within our own life. There's a struggle for peace that on one hand we want to say, I give up, Lord, I'm yours. I cast all my burdens on you, as the Scripture would say. And then inside there's this other man that says, but I want this and I want that. And how about your family? Is it control? Is it greed? Is it bitterness? Is it hurt that robs of peace? How about this church? It's fractured like every church to some extent. Our community, this world. So today, I want to speak about a revolutionary kind of peace. It is a peace that has the potential to create even world peace. But we'll find that what Christ is referring to when He says, blessed are the peacemakers, first of all, to that inner peace. It has to start there. And when inner peace dominates in my life, and then dominates in your life and my life, then we can have peace amongst one another and or between one another. And then when it becomes a larger group, we have peace amongst ourselves, but there's no way to have outward peace unless we have that inward peace. So I think it's first of all most important that we speak about the author of this peace. And of course, Jesus Christ is the one who said it in His inaugural sermon, the Sermon on the Mountainside. And you can climb that ladder of blessedness if you go back and study those Beatitudes and start with brokenness, end with being persecuted for the sake of righteousness, and you'll see the next to the top rung, so to speak, is making peace. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, maybe you'll turn there with me in your Bible. And if you're using a pew Bible, I want to announce they're new, but they're being replaced. We're sending them back. The print size is just too small, and we found another edition that they'll send to us, and so you'll get something that's a little more easy to read very soon. But Isaiah 9, 6, and 7 speaks about this Prince of Peace who would be coming, and it says this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, what? Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on His on David's throne and over His kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And so it was prophesied 600 years before Jesus came, the man who said these words, that He would be called the Prince of Peace. But go to a New Testament passage of Scripture, the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 34 to 39. Let's go there. And the Scripture says, the words of Jesus, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth." He says we ought to be peacemakers. The Old Testament prophesied He was the Prince of Peace, and He said, "I didn't come to bring peace. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." And we would have to understand that it is his life and his witness that is our example of what the Scripture does mean when it says He's the Prince of Peace and He says, "I did not come to bring peace." And Jesus was saying, "I didn't come to set up a world dominion here to bring peace where people laid down their weapons." He would very readily testify He came to bring that inner peace. And therefore He's the Prince of Peace. And He settles the war within. And when the war within is settled, then the war without is settled. And we know, you see, that Jesus Christ does bring discord within families and relationships when somebody is sworn more highly to Him than to each other. But He said, "My kind of peace will come when you pledge your allegiance to Me first as Lord of Lords and King of Kings." And so just look at how Jesus dealt with people. Look at the peace He offered. And then let's consider Ephesians 2, verses 13 through 18. Something we sang about already this morning. It says in Ephesians 2, "But now in Christ Jesus you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace. He has made both one," both Jew and Gentile, "have been brought together, having abolished in His flesh the enmity," that is, the law of the commandments contained in the ordinance, "so as to create in Himself one new man from two, thus making peace, that He might reconcile them both Jew and Gentile, to God in one body through the cross. Therefore, putting to death the enmity, He came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit in the Father." There's the evidence in the Word that Jesus came to bring spiritual peace. There's a natural war, a natural separation between God and man because of sin. And Jesus came to break down every barrier, to open the door, to bring reconciliation. Now, He told us to go be peacemakers. If we didn't understand His kind of peace, we couldn't understand what it means to be a peacemaker. And this peace is a deeper kind of peace, an inward peace, a spiritual peace, a peace that transcends every area of life. When I am dominated by that kind of peace, I can be the kind of husband that I need to be. I can be the kind of father that I need to be. I can be the kind of spiritual brother that I need to be. I can be the kind of preacher that I need to be. I can be the kind of citizen that I need to be. And without that peace, that deeper spiritual inner peace with God, then I certainly can't represent God in this world because I have not been affected by that peace. So the author is Jesus Himself, the Lamb of God, the great High Priest, the one who is known as the Prince of Peace, who yet said, "I didn't come to bring peace." Not the kind of peace you're thinking of. And then we find He Himself is our peace. So let's go a little further to discover the definition of this peace. Just what exactly are we talking about when we speak about this peace? First of all, understand this kind of peace is not simply the absence of conflict. It's not simply peacekeeping. And I think oftentimes, and very readily, and if we only look to Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, and we apply that in a worldly setting, we're talking about blessed are the peacekeepers. We give a lot of credit to peacekeepers. People who can keep other people from putting up their fists, from raising their rifles, from stabbing with a knife, from setting off an explosion, they are peacekeepers, and we give them credit. And some of us in our families, see, some of you moms and grandmas, you're a peacekeeper, not a peacemaker. And how you keep the peace is you just try to get everybody to get along, and you're willing to give up this to negotiate the peace, and a little bit of this, and a little bit of this, and you're willing to not tell the whole truth to this person so that this person doesn't understand what that person really said. Okay, and so you become a peacekeeper, and everybody would look at you and say, wow, how does she do it? And it's not just grandmas and moms. We all do that to some extent. We want to be peacekeepers, and Jesus did not say, blessed are the peacekeepers. When we live as a peacekeeper, we sacrifice truth to keep a visible outward peace. And spiritually, that's very dangerous. See, religiously, in our world, many people have done that. Let's sacrifice the truth that Jesus said, I'm the only way to heaven, and say, in all world religions, there's some good. It's all the same God anyhow, so why can't we just join hands and get along? That's a peacekeeper, not a peacemaker. And that sounds good, and it might get us through a generation. But at the same time, it spins off untruth that leads to walking away from the truth, that leads to eternal condemnation instead of spiritual salvation forever. So there are many people who are gratified and who are applauded if they are the ones who can keep war at bay. Keep the hands and feet under control and the bombs and missiles under control, and many times we're satisfied. And that's because we begin to think this is our home and I just need to get through this life. But then we realize from the Word this is not our home and this is only the beginning, only one phase of life. And so Jesus would be going deeper. This is not a counterfeit peace. It's the real thing. It goes deep and it goes wide. And as we said, it's not simply the absence of conflict. It is the presence of righteousness. That's the peace that Jesus is speaking of. Replacing the battle with that which is right, rebuilding takes place. Sort of like what's going on in Iraq. The U.S. went in and destroyed a lot, and we didn't just say, there, we fixed it. We now go in and spend billions of dollars putting back in place, making better what we destroyed. And that's what Jesus is saying here. There is this worldly peace, this peacekeeping, but I have something better. It's the presence of righteousness. No matter what level of peace we want to talk about, real peace begins with inner peace first. Jesus said that the peacemaker is living the kind of spiritual fulfillment which God intends him to live. See, to be a peacemaker means to live in continual action of living a life and promoting peace. A peacemaker is somebody that is always about making peace. Not keeping peace. Not getting people to get along. We've got to go a step further. You see, it leads others to make reconciliation when we are a peacemaker. When we are a peacemaker, we're first of all concerned about reconciliation to God. We call that evangelism. And then it secondly is about reconciliation with others. We call that one another relationships in the Word. So do you want to be a peacemaker biblically? We're not talking about a people type out there that's the guy that worked, you know, that when everybody has a fight, he's the first one to say, oh, come on, can't we just have lunch together and forget about this? That's not a peacemaker of which Jesus is speaking about. This peacemaker says, you know, I found peace with God. You haven't found peace with God. You need to find peace with God. And then this person is the one who builds peacemaking on those one another relationships founded upon the spiritual truth of God's holy word. And so it's a spiritual affair. It's a career in God's kingdom of being one who speaks peace, reconciliation with God and person to person. That leads us to understanding, thirdly, that there is something that Jesus has said here that has something to do with becoming an ambassador of this peace. Because he said, blessed are the peacemakers. He didn't say, I'm the peacemaker. Now, he is our example. But he said there are people out there who are in the business of making peace. And so we become his official representatives of making peace. Go to 2 Corinthians 5, beginning in verse 17. The Scripture says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself, who has made peace to Himself through Jesus, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He's given us the ministry of peacemaking. That is, that God was in Christ, making peace the world to Himself, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and now has committed us, to us, the word of reconciliation. He's committed to us, the believer, the ministry of peacemaking. And now we are His official peacemakers, His ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, we beg you in Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Peacemaker says, I beg you, make peace with God. How do I make peace with God? Let me tell you how to make peace with God. And very clearly the Scripture shows how peace has been made, how peace is offered, and how a person can make peace with Him. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So as an ambassador of peace, first of all, that person has personally made peace with God. You cannot be a peacemaker in this sense if you have not first made peace. Somebody who's saved, someone who's born again, somebody who recognizes, I'm a new creation in Christ. The old things have passed away, all things have become new to me. And when those lights come on, when that redemption comes, we see people, you know, when they first become a Christian, they have that zeal that we should never lose. They want everybody to know because they now have a peace they never had before. And very easily they can say, you're missing it. You know, I think a very valid question for the world to ask us is, so if you have this peace, why doesn't it show? Why do you act just like me when things go awry? If you have this peace, and you want me to have this peace? And I think that it's good for us to take that inward look and say, have I made peace with God? Am I living in the peace that I've made with God? The peacemaker leads others to make peace with God. He's first of all made peace himself, then he leads others to make peace with God, and then he helps others to make peace with others. That's what it means to be a peacemaker. Now, what does it take? It takes humility. It takes the admission to say, you know, I didn't always have this peace, and here's what I was like when I didn't have that peace. And it takes humility to say, even as a peacemaker, sometimes we're just plain wrong. Sometimes we've been part of the fight. Sometimes we've been trying to, you know, dump our life into somebody else's instead of putting his life into someone else's. And so we have to humble ourselves first before we can even be heard. And that humility leads then to a willingness to confront, which leads to taking the time to intervene. And that all spells taking a risk. Being a peacemaker means risk. And I want you to understand that being a peacemaker isn't always a peaceful affair. See? Some people have worldly peace. Their money's in order. The kids are out of the house. They have what they've been working for. They're enjoying it. But they're missing God's peace. along comes somebody like you or me to explain to them, you don't have what you need. Get out. I don't want anything to do with you. We take that risk. We intervene. Whether it's person to person, sometimes we see broken relationships and God calls us as peacemakers. Now see, there's an easy way out for you. Oh, I'm not a peacemaker. God didn't call me to be a peacemaker. Well, I don't see in these Beatitudes where He said some of us are broken and stay broken, and some of us are merciful and stay merciful, and some of us are going to live on the level of persecution, but some of us aren't. I think all of these are for all of us. And so we're all called to be peacemakers, ambassadors for Christ. And so when we see that broken relationship between people and people, we have God's Holy Spirit in us, we take the risk to step out to help them make peace. And then lastly, what are the results of this peace? First of all, it settles interpersonal conflict. God's peace comes in and settles the heart once for all. You see, we pursue peace in all the wrong places, like Andy had mentioned this morning. We try this, we try to smother it, we try to cover it, we try to dump things in on top of it. But we know, you know, if we're redeemed, when Christ found us and we found Him, we found the real thing. And that is to say, the war can be over today. You don't have inner peace? He offers inner peace every day, every hour of the day. The interpersonal conflict is over. Secondly, it brings health to relationships. When you become a peacemaker, when you are in the ministry of making peace, when you are serving as God's ambassador, it, in the end, settles things down and gets people to get along from the inside out. It makes for healthy relationships. Have you ever noticed that if a person doesn't have peace, they seem to put their lack of peace over onto others? When they have this conflict in their life, they don't think they do it intentionally, they don't want you to have that peace. They want you to be conflicted like they're conflicted. Did you ever notice that? When they can't see straight and it's all dumping in on them and they've lost their peace, they want you to vilify, you know, how they're seeing it, and you live like them. You ever notice in a family, everybody can be getting along, but that one person that has this inner conflict keeps things stirred up because they can't see in any other way. See, they want you looking at it how they look at it. And world peace, worldly peace, doesn't settle the conflict within, see? And so they know no better. Ephesians 4 says this, in verses 11 to 16, it says, He gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ might be built up until we reach unity in the faith. And unity in the faith comes from the application of the inner peace growing in a body of people. And then there are harmonious relationships where we are no longer like infants tossed back and forth with every wind of doctrine, and we don't fall for every scheme that comes along, but we are then built up, as the Scripture says, into one body, joined and held together by ligaments, growing, building itself up in love as each part does its work. And so there is this harmony because of the inner peace. It could be between a husband and wife. It could be within a family. It necessarily needs to be within the church. And it could grow to a community, to a nation, to the world. But it comes, if there is ever visible world peace, it will come one way. Surrender to Jesus Christ. Now consider that. What if every person in the world worshiped Jesus as Lord, had their sins forgiven, and recognized every other person as a brother and a sister? That would bring world peace. But the Scripture would show us that it isn't going to happen as we approach the end times until Christ returns and dwells on the earth for 1,000 years. And this peace, this kind of peace, brings a living witness to the world. When your life has changed, they say, "What happened to you?" when the church gets along and does God's job, they say, wow. See, and so it brings that living witness. So when we talk about peace and the lack of peace, what is the problem? Is the problem weapons? Sometimes that's how we try to solve the lack of peace, is take the weapons away. Is the problem hands and feet? You know, what if at home we bound our kids' feet and their hands so they couldn't hit and kick each other? Does that bring peace? Is the problem the tongue? I think in the church that's what stirs it up the most. So what if we just quit speaking or cut our tongues out? Does that bring peace? See, these are simply the visible fruits of a lack of internal peace. The seat of peace in our lives is the heart and the mind. That's why the Scripture would address those areas. Why the Scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in here overflows here. It's a truth. Jesus confirmed it. That's why in Romans 12, Paul says, it's by the renewing of your mind that you're transformed. Not the renewing of your hands or your feet. Not the renewing of your weapon. Not the renewing of your government. The renewing of your heart, your mind. That's the seat of the mind, the will, and the emotions, is the heart in the Scripture. Now see, Philippians 4:7, and we sang about that today, says, and the peace of God. What does it do? Transcends all understanding. It surpasses all understanding. It sees through. It's greater than. More than we can understand. You see, the peace of God comes in and guards our hearts and our minds, the very seat of peace, through Christ Jesus. So listen, when you have the inner peace that comes through Christ, and the person beside you doesn't have it, and they're trying to get you all conflicted like they're conflicted, and you don't react how you reacted before you had the peace, they say, how'd that happen? That transcends our understanding. I don't know. See? And when people in the church start getting along that didn't get along because they both have the peace of God, somebody says, how'd that happen? Why, it's the peace of God that transcends our common understanding. Can't explain it. My dad died on a Saturday. I preached on a Sunday. The next day, I'm not able to do that. God's peace carried me. See, when your husband, your wife, your mom, your dad, your child is suffering, you ought to lose your peace. You ought to be all conflicted. You ought to be running around cursing God. But when you have the peace of God in your heart, you see, He's the shepherd. He knows the best. It's according to His will. He will see me through, no matter how bad it gets. And the world says, how'd you do that? I didn't. God carried me. It was His peace that transcends understanding. More than I can explain. More than I can understand. His peace is greater. And so I simply say, do you have this peace? And are you promoting this peace? That's what Jesus said we need to be. Not the peacekeepers, but the peacemakers of the world. And so I want to encourage you, as we're about to sing, to consider your life. To say, you know, do I have the peace? And who do I know that doesn't have the peace? Who do you need to be an ambassador of God toward to bring them into reconciliation? And then secondly, what is it in my life, my family, my relationships that needs this one another peace built upon God's principles? How about in this church? What difference can I make? And so today as we stand to sing, and I'd like you to do that now, I just want you to consider that. Let's all be standing saying, you know, is there somebody I should go and pray for? Is there a situation I would like to share with one of the pastors or the elders of the church and say, could you help me make peace here? Is there an opportunity here? There is an opportunity if you need further counsel to come and identify yourself so that we can talk further about God's peace. So it's a day to come to get rid of the lack of peace in your life. You need Jesus. He is our peace. Others need Jesus. He is the peace they're looking for. He is the peace who has broken down every wall. So come, so we can pray for you and with you even now.